I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles tonight for a few moments to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we've been over the last several weeks talking about the subject of being a living sacrifice and how it is that God desires for each and every one of us to live a life of sacrifice, to give of ourselves fully, to put, as it were, all of ourselves on the altar. We've talked about some specific ways that we can make sacrifices to the Lord. And of course, those sacrifices are acceptable to Him, not because of our own righteousness or because of the great price that we have paid, but rather because we are found in Christ and are able to accept or offer acceptable sacrifices to Him. Hebrews chapter 13 is our text tonight in verse number 15. And we'd like to speak for the next few moments about a sacrifice that each and every one of us can make, a very meaningful sacrifice, and at times a deeply significant and incredibly difficult sacrifice for us to make to God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15, the scripture says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Now, it may not seem to be that significant. Verse 15 talks about offering to God a sacrifice of praise. And you may be tempted this evening to think, well, that's easy. That's a cinch. No problem. We can all do that. But I want you just for the next few moments to consider a little bit about what it means to offer a sacrifice of praise to the Lord and how it is that we can give honor and glory and indeed worship His name by bringing a sacrifice of praise. We see in this passage that the believers who are being written to are encouraged to bring a sacrifice of praise. And God is recognizing that it will be sacrificial for them to praise God in the midst of the circumstances in which they find themselves. You'll notice with me, first of all, in verse 15, the means of our praise. I've already alluded to it in the introduction, but we'll notice here that it says it is by him that we are to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And the him who is referred to in verse 15 is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the context here of Hebrews 13, 15, we've found something about the price that Jesus has paid for our salvation, for our redemption, the shedding of his own blood. Verse 12 talks about that. The taking upon himself of reproach, of being rejected. And verse 13 and 14 speaks about that. And we see that Jesus paid a great price for us to be redeemed. And it is by him, it is by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we can come before God with our sacrifice of praise. Do you know this evening that all of the sacrifices that we offer to God, which are deemed acceptable by God, are acceptable when they are offered by Jesus or in the name of Jesus? Do you understand from Ephesians chapter 1 that you and I are already accepted in the Beloved? That we can come into the presence of God? Hebrews chapter 4 talks about how we're invited to come boldly to the throne of grace. And all of this is because of what Jesus has done for us. In fact, the very reason that we can praise God and He will hear our praise, He will hear our worship, is because of what Jesus has done for us. And that's a remarkable thought, because truly you and I were created by God to praise Him, to give glory and honor to Him. But the only way that we can truly do that is to come by means or by way of Jesus Christ. We find in Hebrews chapter 13 that Jesus is the reproached and rejected Savior of men. And you and I are called to take His reproach upon us. In fact, the verse in verse 13 says that we are called to go unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And the verse there in verse 13 is referring to something that would happen in the Old Testament, how there would be at times those who were shut outside of the camp because of their reproach, because of uncleanness, or because of sin that was upon them. And they were considered by the rest of the congregation to be a reproach or a shame. The Bible says that Jesus went intentionally outside the camp, and he took our reproach upon himself. And we're called to go to him outside the camp and take his reproach upon us. That is to identify with him. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of him, then he'll be ashamed of you. But how many of us in this generation are ashamed to name the name of Jesus Christ? It's interesting to me how people will identify with those that they want to please. And in the identifying with those that they want to please, they will do all sorts of unusual things. For instance, as I am out in town and around people, I see people dressed in unusual ways. I see people with strange markings upon their skin. I see people with interesting hardware that they put into their face and other parts of their body. And why do people do this? Well, typically it is to identify themselves with someone else. Typically it is so that they might be accepted by someone else. And people are willing to do extreme things to be accepted by a certain group of people. But isn't it interesting that there's lots of professing Christians who seem as if they would much rather be accepted by the world than accepted by God? They're willing to take the reproach of the world upon themselves. They're willing to take the mark or the stain of the world upon themselves, but they eschew the reproach of Christ. And we're called as believers to go outside the camp, to take the reproach of Christ upon ourselves, to willingly identify with him. You say, well, what does this have to do with the sacrifice of praise? Everything. Because you can't truly praise God without identifying with Jesus Christ. You've got to be willing to take the reproach of Jesus upon yourself, to be identified with him. Whatever the world may think about you as a follower of Jesus Christ, you've got to be willing to do that, because in order to praise God, you have to come to him to praise him by Christ. Taking all that it means to be in Christ. And certainly in Christ, we have many riches, we have many benefits, we have many blessings, we have many promises. But as far as the world is concerned, for you to be in Christ, that is a reproach. So we find that the means of our praise, we come by the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice again in verse 15, not only the means of our praise, but you'll notice with me the recipient of our praise. Verse 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Praise is to be directed to God. God is the one who is worthy of our praise. Now, I think if we were honest this evening, most of us are not very good at praise just in general. We're not very good at having a thankful heart. We're not very good at calling attention to the positive attributes of others. But even when it concerns God, oftentimes we are silent about our praise. We find, for instance, that it's easy to find things that we want God to do for us. And if we ask for prayer requests, we could have many people raise their hands and say, I need God to work in this situation. I want God to do this. I need God to show himself in this area. And that's right. That's good. The Bible says that we can ask and that we have not because we ask not. God wants us to pray. But when it comes time to praise, sometimes our lips are silent. We struggle to think about what to say. What would I praise him for? And we tend to repeat the normal three or four things, and then all of a sudden we're out of material. I don't know. I'm not sure what to praise him for. The Bible says that we are to praise, we are to bring our praise to God. God is the recipient of our praise. I ask you tonight, how much is there to praise God for? And just for a couple of minutes, I want you to think with me about some ways that we can praise God. If you would hold your place in Hebrews 13 and turn back to the book of Psalms, we'd like to look at Psalm 22. And I want you to notice, first of all, that we ought to praise God according to his name. According to his name. Psalm 22 and verse number 22 is a very interesting verse. It says this, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Now, obviously, this is Old Testament. But as an application for us this evening, if we were to take this and we were to personalize it for ourselves, then I suggest to you that we ought to be much in the habit of praising God according to his name, or declaring his name here in the midst of the congregation. Amen. We ought to make a habit as we are conversing with one another and as we are praying publicly and in small groups or more privately, or as we are fellowshipping, as we are discussing with one another about what has been going on in our life, we ought to be much in the habit of calling attention to the name of God. And I've said this before, but I want to remind you that the name of God is his description of himself. His names, which are revealed in the Bible, tell us who he is, what he is like, what his character or his nature is. So as we are praising God, we are praising God according to his name, because his name is speaking to us of his nature, of his character, of what he is like. And so often we may have a couple of names of God that are our favorites. And there certainly is nothing wrong with that. For instance, when we're praying aloud or we're praying in the presence of another person, we may have a particular name of God that we refer to frequently and often. There's not necessarily anything wrong with that. But I want to challenge you to think about the fact that there are many names of God revealed in the scripture which reveal his character, which tell us who he is. And we ought to develop the habit of using those names when we speak to God in prayer. I believe the Psalms are a rich resource of this. And what a challenge for us then to declare, to praise the name of God in the congregation, here in this assembly. What better place to talk about who God is than here with others who are the people of God? So we ought to praise him according to his name. Now turn over to Psalm 107 and notice with me that not only ought we to praise him according to his name, but we ought to praise him according to his works. Psalm 107 is a very interesting psalm which talks about many of the works of God. And there is a repetitious phrase that we find all through Psalm 107 that reminds us about how important it is to praise God. I want you to look at verse 8. This is repeated several times in Psalm 107. And the exclamation of the psalmist is, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then all through Psalm 107, in between the exclamations of this statement that we ought to praise God for his goodness and for his wonderful works, the psalmist goes back and reminds himself and others about the wonderful works that God has done among the children of men. He reminds us about how good God has been, about how his works are seen on every hand. And do you understand tonight that as God's children, as we praise him, when we bring a sacrifice of praise, part of that sacrifice of praise is speaking to those around us about the wonderful works of God. And I suggest to you that this declaration of God's works is not just reserved for in the assembly of brethren or among those who know the Lord, but it is something that we ought to take out into the world, and we ought to tell people about how good God has been to us and how we've seen His works in our life. And I know, you know, some people in the world will say, oh, come on, I don't believe that. If you want to believe that, that's fine. But how many of us as Christians are really vocal about how good God has been to us? Just imagine, as you're out and about in the world, doing your job, stopping at the coffee shop, going to a restaurant, that sort of thing. Boy, we have these interactions with people, and people ask us, how are you doing today? Boy, what a great opportunity. I mean, we could talk about the weather and sports and politics and all these other things, but what an opportunity to say, praise God, I am doing so well because of how good God has been to me. Now, you have to prepare yourself for what might happen, because that person might think, well, that's a strange way to respond. And don't say it just in a disingenuous way. But honestly, we ought to be so captivated with the goodness of God and His works in our life that praise easily flows from our lips. We ought to praise Him according to His name. We ought to praise Him according to His works. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 7, a third way that we ought to praise Him. Deuteronomy chapter 7. You could probably fit this under that idea of praising Him according to His name. But I want to especially highlight this area that we ought to be often praising God for. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 9. The scripture says this: know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. I believe, third of all, that as we bring our sacrifice of praise, we ought to be praising God according to His faithful character. We can be speaking about how God has kept His promises to us. Yes, He has been good to us. Yes, He's done wonderful works. He's real to us. He's worked in our lives. But understand that He's been faithful to us. And we can speak to others about the faithfulness of God. And there are, oh my, so many opportunities that we can share with others about how God has been faithful to us, how His character has been evidenced in our life, how He has kept the promises that He has made to us. And this is a tremendous testimony of praise to God. Now, certainly you can speak about these things, and you should speak about these things directly to God in prayer. But we can also bring this sacrifice of praise by speaking about this to others as we share with them what God means to us. Finally, we praise God according to His revelation. And this is the remarkable thing, is that God has revealed Himself to us. He's the Creator. We are the creation. And God has revealed Himself to us so that we might know who He is. But we need to be careful that our praise is directed by the revelation of God. Sometimes people find themselves enraptured in what they think is worship or praise, and they're actually speaking in an unscriptural manner. They're speaking in a way that is an aberration from the way that God has revealed Himself. So we want to make sure that we are ordering our praise in such a way that it is consistent with how God has revealed Himself, both in the Scriptures and also in creation around us. God has revealed Himself, and there are so many opportunities for us to praise God according to His revelation. For instance, have you ever just been out in nature, out in the woods, or out next to a stream, and started to think about all of the fingerprints that God has left on His creation, all the ways that He has revealed Himself just in all of those little things around you? And did you ever start to marvel at how great God is and start to praise Him. Boy, that is what we ought to do as believers. Our thoughts ought to be stayed upon His praise. Now go back to our text in Hebrews 13 as we think about our praise. Our praise is offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our praise is offered to God Himself. He's the one who is worthy of praise and honor and glory. But now I want you to notice in our text in verse number 15 that we are to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. And the third thought tonight is the consistency of our praise. Do you understand that it is God's will for us to always be giving praise to God? For us to always be finding things to highlight about who He is and what He is like. To be making much of His character and of His person. The word continually that's used here in verse number 15 speaks about doing something constantly or always. Do you have some habits? Some things that you do all the time? The things that you would never miss? For instance, maybe you're one of those people who, when you get up in the morning, you never miss your cup of coffee. Or maybe, the case may be with you, your pot of coffee. Whichever it is. But you have a habit. You have a custom. You have something that you are going to accomplish. You get up in the morning, this is what I do. You probably have noticed, some of you, as you're commuting to work, you probably have certain habits. Maybe a place where you stop. Maybe a place where you tend to change lanes on the highway. Maybe a certain route that you like to take. Things that you like to do. We are creatures of habit. And God's intention is for us to develop a habit of praise. Praise, one of the hymn writers said, ought to be natural speech. It ought to be something that is natural to us to speak about the praise of God. I fear that sometimes as believers, praise is something that is so infrequent and unfamiliar to us that when it's time to praise God, it feels forced. It feels difficult to praise God. Maybe you've experienced this in our seasons of extended prayer during our special prayer meeting. And we have a time designated for worshiping God, for praising Him. And maybe you find it difficult in those times to praise Him. I'm not slighting you if you do. I'm not trying to diminish what can sometimes be a difficulty. But one of the reasons that it is difficult for us is because we don't praise God often enough. We don't praise Him frequently enough. He ought to be often the focus of our praise. There is a need for you and I to repeat praise or to be consistent in our praise of God. Think about in your home. Can you ever say, I love you too much to the people that you love? Do you ever get to the place where you husbands say to your wife, would you stop telling me you love me? You say that every day. I'm so tired of hearing you say I love you. No, probably not. I mean, if you are saying that, there's probably some problems. If you're in love with each other, you don't tire of telling one another, of expressing your love. In the same way, we ought not to tire of praising God. We ought to talk often about what God has done for us. There is a need for us, though, to repeat praise because our tendency is not to be a praising people. Our tendency, as it were, and we find this established in the scriptures, is to be a murmuring or complaining people. Our tendency is to find the things about our life that we do not like. When people ask us, how are you? Our first thought is not, I'm blessed. God's been so good to me. He's blessed me in so many ways. Our first thought is, man, it's miserably hot. Oh, the economy. Oh, these politicians. Oh, I'm so frustrated with whatever. Oh, we're a murmuring people. How easily we find things to complain about, things to cast at God's feet and say, I wish that God would do this, or why didn't God do that? I don't understand why God doesn't treat me in a better way. God says we ought to be consistent in our praise. Do you understand tonight that no matter the circumstances that you are going through, you can always find a reason to praise God? I want to prove that to you from the scriptures. Hold your place in Hebrews 13 and turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. God wants us to praise Him no matter the circumstances. He doesn't say to us, bring the sacrifice of praise on your good day. When you get a bonus at work, bring a sacrifice of praise. When the weather is perfect, bring a sacrifice of praise. When your children are all well behaved and never give you any trouble all day long, bring a sacrifice of praise. No, he says, let's bring that sacrifice of praise continually. Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. The scripture says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, you'll notice in verse 3 through 5, that we have the opportunity to glory in tribulations. Even in those times of difficulty, trials, seasons in our life where we don't understand the circumstances, we don't know what God is up to, we don't understand why God is allowing certain things in our life. But even in those situations, we can glory in those tribulations. We can hope in God. We can have the confidence that we will not be left ashamed in those circumstances. The idea is that even in times of tribulation, we can find something to praise God for. Now, again, I realize that this is difficult. And I'm not suggesting to you that we ought to offer cheap praise or insincere praise. I don't think we ought to be in the habit of making up praise so that we sound spiritual, or so that other people think, oh, I admire them for their attitude in the trial that they're going through. But we ought to be able to find genuine reasons to praise. And I suggest to you, if you'll go back to Hebrews 13 and verse 15, I suggest to you that it is particularly in these times when we praise God that we sense that sacrifice of praise. That praise is something that is difficult. There are times when it is so hard to say to God, God, you are good. I worship you and I praise you, even though I don't understand what is going on. It is in those seasons when we bring a sacrifice of praise, when we offer to God something that is sincere, something that is from our heart, a heartfelt acceptance of God's will for our life. Understand that our praise ought to be consistent. Anyone can praise God. Anyone can give glory to God when you're in the midst of a rousing song and your feelings are swelling and you think, oh, I love the Lord so much. It's quite another thing to praise God when you feel alone, when you feel forgotten, when you feel neglected by God, when you feel as if God has allowed something in your life that shouldn't have happened, when you feel that perhaps God has overlooked you. That is another time to praise God. Do you understand when the scripture uses the word continually here? God is ruling out our feelings as the primary source of our praise. Now, it's wonderful when our feelings, when our emotions are moved towards praise. But there are many times in our Christian life when we ought to praise God in spite of how we feel. If we only follow our feelings, if we can only praise God when we feel like praising God, then in that time, we've declared to the world that actually our God is our feelings. Our God is how we feel. Listen, There will be many times in your life and in mine that we'll feel like doing almost anything other than praising God. And it could be said that perhaps that's the most important time to praise Him. Now, I suggest to you that in those moments, at least I find it to be helpful to get into a private place, to get into your prayer closet and work that out between you and God. Come to Him with genuine praise and praise Him even when you don't feel like it. And you know, when He uses the word continually, He means that we ought to praise God no matter what other people think of Him. I don't know about you, but there have been times, to my shame, there have been times when I've been among other people who I knew didn't think much of the Lord. And I had an occasion to praise the Lord, to point out His faithfulness or His goodness, or to speak about how He had worked in my life or about what I thought about Him. And in that moment, I feared. I hesitated. I stepped back because I thought, oh, these people won't understand. These people won't, they won't receive it. These people, they won't see things. They don't love God the way that I do. And to my shame, there have been times when I've walked away from encounters like that without saying anything about the praise of God. My heart smote me afterwards. Why didn't you speak up? Didn't you love Him? Don't you appreciate Him? Aren't you thankful for all He's... And I am. But there are times when, because of fear, I don't speak up for my Lord. Can you identify with that? Listen, we ought to give praise to God continually. It doesn't matter who's listening. It doesn't matter what they think about Him. We ought to offer our praise to Him consistently. The means of our praise, the recipient of our praise, the consistency of our praise. But then notice in verse 15 something about the practice of our praise. I want you to see something very particular in verse 15. The sacrifice of praise that we offer to God is specified. He says at the end of the verse, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Now understand that what He is pointing out is, it is important. It is expected by God for us to enunciate the words of praise with our lips. That means we are to say it out loud. Now you ought to silently praise God. You ought to think thoughts of praise to God, but don't stop there. Because God is pleased when we open our mouth and we talk about His praise. When we tell others about God's goodness, about God's character, about God's name, about how God has revealed Himself. And do you understand, as we think about uttering praise publicly out loud before others, that this is part of what it means to bear the reproach of Christ? No matter what the world thinks about Him, I ought to be determined to praise Him. Now you'll notice in verse 15 that praise is equated with giving thanks unto His name. And sometimes we separate thanksgiving and praise. And I think in the Bible there is a distinction between thanksgiving and praise. But there is also an idea that these two things go together, which is why oftentimes when we find ourselves in a time where we are trying to express praise to God, we also find ourselves expressing thanksgiving to God. And as we begin expressing thanksgiving to God, we will find ourselves praising God, because these two things go together so easily. They're so much a part of one another. So He says one way that we can praise God is we can give thanks to God, to His name. We can be very specific and we can be personal about what God has done for me. how God has worked in my life. Do you understand this evening that God wants us to bring a sacrifice of praise? God wants us to offer that sacrifice of praise. And that word, offer, has the idea of what would happen when the priest would take a lamb that had been brought for a sacrifice, and he would carry that lamb that had been slain, and he would lay it upon the altar there in front of the presence of God, and that lamb would be offered up as a burnt offering to God. In the same way, we are to bring our praise. We are to carry it into His presence. We are to carry it with us, and we are to put it before Him. We are to offer it to Him, and we are to say, God, this is what I think of You. Do you know, when you speak publicly about what God means to you, it's as if you're saying to God, God, this is what I think of You. I thank You for all You've done for me. I value Your love for me. I'm grateful for Your mercy in my life. Do you understand tonight that we have a tremendous privilege? And sometimes we think, well, in order to sacrifice, in order to be a living sacrifice, oh, I'm going to have to do some big thing. I'm going to have to give $1 million. I'm going to have to move halfway around the world to some other country. Listen, if God wants you to do those things, that's wonderful. But any one of us can offer a sacrifice of praise. Every one of us can offer a sacrifice of praise. And yet at the same time, we find that is not always easy. That requires us to set ourselves to the side and put our focus on God and how good He's been to us. How about it tonight? Ought we to bring a sacrifice of praise? You know, this evening, the question is, what do you have to praise God for tonight? If you had to think about your life, what happened? What transpired in your day? In this last week, what has taken place? Do you have anything to praise God for? Amen. Is there any part of His character that you could call attention to that you would say, in the midst of the congregation, I want to say that God has been faithful to me. I want to say that God has kept His promises. I want to say that I've seen God's grace. I want to say that He's been merciful to me. I want to say that I know God has answered my prayer. I know that God has provided for me. Could you say tonight, I have something to praise God for? What do you have to be thankful for tonight? Can you come to God and be thankful to Him? Now, in just a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer. We'll have lots of requests, lots of things to pray about. But I'm going to challenge you that as we go to prayer, I've ended the message a little bit early this evening on purpose, because I want to intentionally give you an opportunity with those that you are praying with to take a season of time and praise God. Here in the midst of the congregation, talk to one another about how good God is, how great God is, how faithful God is, and how much you appreciate His goodness in your life. Tonight, let's bring a sacrifice of praise, because God is well pleased with those kind of sacrifices.